This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Raya Gonzalez. She's going to be talking about how our lives do not have to be picture perfect to be worthy or valuable. She believes that the nitty-gritty of everyday's life wins and challenges are more important to acknowledge, not necessarily society's version of achievement. Raya is an author, speaker, and entrepreneur, and we're going to be talking about her new book called Successful as F. Yes, it's the F word. No BS tale of screwing up and succeeding anyway. Welcome to the show, Raya. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm so good, and I'm so honored to be here. So a big thank you to you and to your audience for having me.
Oh, that's so very sweet. So let me ask you something. Tell us a little bit about why in your particular life it's been so important to redefine success.
You know, I think what started for me was my life was always going to look a little different than my peers. And so my book explores that in many stories. But in a nutshell, it took a different path. And so if I define success the traditional way, like you go to school, maybe you go to a good school, and then you get into college and you get a career, and then you get married, and then you have the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and all of those things. If I measured it that way, I was never going to be successful. And I just decided that that wasn't good enough for me. And so I knew that I needed to find a different way to, define success for myself.
I find that to be amazing, Raya, because I believe that most people let others define what success is in their life. And you were quite young when you decided this for yourself. What do you think caused you to be so different from most other people?
I think there were certainly things in my teen years that were very instrumental and fundamental to changing my opinions of things. But I think it goes back even farther. As a young child, I was very shy, and I did not have a lot of friends, and so I really had to navigate the world a little bit differently, and I was very observant of other people because I was so quiet, which is hilarious because I'm a loudmouth now. But, you know, as I went through my teen years and then worked my way through different groups and made mistakes and, you know, would ask myself questions like, why did I do that? Like, why? And it was very much because I wanted to belong, often to the wrong group or to the wrong thing, because I just desperately wanted to belong, because to me that was success. That meant I had value. I was worth something because somebody else thought I was worth something. And it left, even when I got the attention that I wanted, it was empty. And it's taken many years to break down those lessons that I learned early on to really kind of undo that and rethink through those things and say to myself, oh, that's what I was looking for. That's what was going on there. And then use that information in current day to, inform myself a little bit better.
Right. That's really good. You know, I've been reading your book, and I remember a chapter where you're a very young mom, and you're struggling and working and having the baby and feeding the baby and being up half the night doing all that. And you talk about how you, like we said before, redefine success into the smaller things that you accomplished in a day.
Yes.
How did it feel when you finally said, you know what? I had a good day today because, you know, whatever. How did it feel to change your version of success for yourself?
It felt good, and I'd be lying if I didn't say that my greatest nemesis and my greatest superpower is that I became a mom at 20 years old. I mean, I got pregnant when I was 19. You know, we joke and say that my girls and I grew up together because I have two daughters. Well, I have three daughters, but two that were back-to-back. One born when I was barely 20 and one born when I was barely 22. And they, you know, I've said to my husband, I said, do you think that we should have waited? And he's like, no, we would not be the people that we are. We would not have like strived for things more if we hadn't been for them. And so I think that that really informed things, those little tiny, things of success for them really helped me define that for myself.
I find that wonderful because I remember being a young mom, not quite as young as you. I think I was 24, so young by today's standards.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
And I didn't give myself credit for, you know, when I had my first child, my son, all the things I did as a mom. I really didn't. I didn't think that there was much value in that, you know. So I think it's wonderful that you did that for yourself, and even more are encouraging others, you know, young moms or moms of any age or women of any age, to count the things you do on a daily basis as a success. I love that. I just love that about you.
Yeah, and it's so important because we're so hard on ourselves. I mean, mm-hmm. Even to this day, my girls are in their 20s and I even want to, you know, almost because I'm more self-aware, I want to love them more now because I have the capacity to do so. So I just want to, like, go back and love on the 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old me and say, you're doing good. Like, this is okay. This is going to end okay. Like, your babies are going to grow up to be these amazing women. Mm-hmm. And for better, for worse, you were part of that. Like, you brought them here. The world is better because they are here. And so if there are young mothers out there or even young people who are really down on themselves about where they're at right now, those little tiny steps and those little tiny things of impact, they have value in the long run, even if it doesn't feel like it right now.
Yeah, that's great. I love that message. Can you give us some concrete examples of the little successes so that people who are listening can understand what you're talking about?
Yeah, of course. I think when my girls were young, when my girls were very little, we were able to buy a house when my second daughter was 1 year old. So I would have been only 23. And that was phenomenal. I mean, like, we definitely didn't have, I mean, we had like a roommate and it was like a whole situation to make it happen, but we had the drive to have a better life for them. We didn't have that for ourselves in that moment, but mm-hmm. everything was like the drive to have that for them. And then, you know, in turn, now I have that drive to help them launch. And also see through my life that even if you don't have the conventional path, you can do something with your life. I mean, I took 12 years to get my bachelor's degree because I had young children, and that is the way that I had to do it. And that says something to them. Okay, so if that's something that you want, even if you have to do it differently, it's okay. Yeah. You can get that thing. If you want it, it's possible.
That's wonderful. 12 years, that's awesome. That's a lot of stick-to-itiveness.
Oh, man, it was brutal, but it was so worth it.
I imagine so, and such a sense of achievement because you worked so hard for it. You know, we don't, generally in this society, this is not how it's seen. We get into school and they try to make us all the same. You know, everybody does the same.
Yes.
3 years of this, 4 years of that, you know, you learn all the subjects, you're perfect at everyone, and it's hear you say it's okay to be different, it's okay to have a different path. I love that. Very, very nice. Very good. So Raya, what do you think is the first step for a person who wants to begin redefining success in their life? You said they could be young, but they could be any age and feel, I'm not a success whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I want to say, first of all, that this journey didn't start for me until I got into my 40s. So please be kind to yourself and start the exploration sooner than that if you can. But even if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, it's really never too late. I think the first step is be real. Look at your life and be honest about not just what has happened to you, which you do need to take stock of, like what has happened to you that has informed who you are. What have you done, good and bad, that has informed who you are and has informed your relationship? And where have you personally felt fulfillment? And not, like, ignore everybody else. Ignore everybody else, not fulfillment based off of everybody else. Where have you found joy? In little tiny things. Maybe that's you revived a plant. You know, like you revived that plant and that little plant is living. That is joy. That is a success. So write, jot down these little moments of something that made you smile or brought you joy that you did or that you experienced, or situations that you were in, and start recognizing those things. And I mean, like, I understand the whole gratitude journal and everything like that, but I actually discourage you from doing that because I think we can fall into the platitudes of like, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for this. No, it's very specifically, what did I do even on the most, and you know, make it micro. Like micro joy. What was something like, for example, I'm sitting in front of an iMac computer. I love this computer. I'm going to take joy and success in the fact that I bought this computer for myself.
Yeah.
And I love it. And that is success to me. Not because somebody said, oh, an iMac is the best computer. No, because I use it and I love it and I enjoy it. And so, you know, those types of things, I think, are where you start. And then you can branch it out to bigger things and other steps where you can see that you made progress for yourself in ways that maybe somebody else wouldn't find important, but were important for you. And that is success. And I always say, if you say it's success, it is success. That's it. Bottom line, if you say you're successful as F, you are successful as F, like bottom line.
Yeah, I love that. I love the story about the reviving the plant. That reminds me of my mom. She had the greenest thumb ever, and she could take this little tiny nothing and in weeks turn it into a beautiful plant. She got so much joy out of that. So, yeah, she was, she had a green thumb. She was successful at that. And the part about the computer really strikes because I have a MacBook Air that I bought for myself.
Yes. And
I was so proud of that because I was able to, you know, collect the money, buy it cash, have it. I still have it. I love it. So I'm with you on that. And those little things that we're so thankful for and that we enjoy so much, I don't think we talk about it enough. You know, it's not talked about enough in general. And this is what you're talking about. Let's get back to really, really being thankful or being grateful for even the littlest thing that means something to you, not that means something to the world.
Yeah.
I think the wise words you said before were ignore everyone else.
I think I'm not shy about the fact that I live with depression and anxiety, and I also have ADHD. And so things for other people that might be quote unquote normal may or may not be quote unquote normal for me. And so, you know, there are days where I can't be as productive as I would like to be. And somebody saying, well, just block out the time or do X, Y, or Z or use a planner, that's not going to work for me. But there are days where I can keep going for like 12 hours and I'm just like going and I'm so productive. And so for me, it's like measuring success and saying, I'm listening to my body today and I feel dysregulated and I don't feel good, like in whatever way that, in whatever capacity that is. If I listen to my body and I do that, that's success. Maybe somebody else sees that as me being lazy or me not being productive, but for me, that's success. And then if I'm able to crank out a whole bunch and be really proud of myself, that's success. It's really about bringing it down to what is true, authentic, and raw for you. And because we all have our own experiences in the way that we live through this life. And then owning it in a way that is positive and looking at yourself in a way that you are enough, you are worthy exactly in the form that you are right now. You actually don't have to change anything, even if you're in a very precarious or low spot in your life. There are ways where you can say, I made a better decision than I could have. And I'm going to strive to make an even better decision. And just the thought that you're going to try, that's success, even if you're in a very not great situation. So that's where I think we have to really bring it back for ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And we're also going to open up the phone lines if you want to call and ask Maya a question or talk to her. The lines are open. You can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
From feeling broken and ashamed to unlocking potential and transforming your life, it is possible, as you'll see in Transformation Coach Christina Foxwell's new book, The Glass Angel. Foxwell shares her story of breaking free from shame and fear and finding hope, love, and freedom, and guides you to do the same. Get your copy of The Glass Angel, A Guide to Freedom, Peace, Transformation and Growth by Christina Foxwell at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.
Cowboy Wisdom Hypnoacuity is wisdom energizing, fun opening personal expansion. Expands you out of yesterday, energizing today. Enterprising your dreams to experience your now connected desired life. Robert A. Wilson.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest, Maya Gonzalez. We're talking about how our lives do not have to be picture perfect to be worthy or valuable. So, Maya, let me ask you something. What do you believe is the main message that you're bringing to the public here?
I would say the main message is we are the hero and we write our own story. And if we don't like the way the story is going, we actually get to do a plot twist and rewrite that story the way we want to. Every story is going to have conflict. Every story is going to have a pinnacle. Every story is going to have a villain. And every story is going to have heroes and supporting characters. You know, we are the hero and the author of that story. And it's just important to, when you feel like you have no control, these micro successes are the way that you reclaim that control.
I love that you say we're the hero. So many people say we are the author. I've never heard anyone say we are the hero. That puts you in a completely different light. The hero, who everybody looks up to, right? And so that's fantastic. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. So let's talk a little bit about your book. I've been reading it. I love it. Successful as F. You know, I love the rawness and the pure authenticity as you share your life experience. Was there one chapter that was the more meaningful or the most meaningful for you?
So I will tell you that the chapter that most people will reach out to me is Chapter 5, which is the story of when I was kicked out as a senior in high school. It's called Girl in the Car. And it was the most painful to write. But the one that I would say for me is the most meaningful for me as the author is the chapter called In the Middle. And In the Middle is a story about, it's used in many ways. I'm a middle child. It highlights the relationship between me and my middle child, and it also highlights the fact that we often forget the middle of life, the like seemingly inconsequential things that happen in life. This chapter literally changed my relationship with my daughter because what I was able to do was have an honest conversation with her about the things that I had done that had left her basically with trauma. And I was able, who knows how, but I was able to hold back my defensiveness and say, hey, if I've lived through Chapter 5, Girl in the Car, my perspective of what happened to me, and that's a valid and true story, that's my story, this is her story of what happened in this part of her life. I have the back scene of what I was experiencing. And so I feel defensive, but this is what is true for her. And as her mom and as somebody who cares about her, I need to honor that and say, I can't change that, but I can be here for you now. I can be sorry that that is your story. That is what happened to you and my contribution to that. And I see what you see.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely beautiful, because once that defensiveness keeps us from acknowledging that maybe we hurt someone, we weren't trying to, right? We were doing the best we could.
Right.
At the time. We thought we were doing the best we could, but we mess up. We screw up and we hurt people.
We don't do it. Yeah.
And so, but the defensiveness keeps us from being able to allow that person to see us as a vulnerable person who makes mistakes. But letting your children see that, I think that's beautiful, Raya. What a beautiful story. I love that. Very good.
Thank you.
What else can you tell the listener about the book, what they can expect or what it was like writing it?
Yeah, I like to say the book is an anthem for all of us. It's a collection of stories of my life with an invitation to participate in that. So it's not a me story. This is a we story. This is just me illustrating these universal things that happen to us, describing in detail the emotion and things that I went through, and then starting a conversation about how that might apply in your life as the reader, and an invitation to say, this situation maybe didn't happen to you like this, but you probably have felt similar to this. And it's just a perspective change, you know, a way to, I like to say, you're getting the juicy goss, right? Like you're getting the juicy story on my life, but you're also able to see that you're not alone. You're not weird because you feel certain ways. You're not a failure because your success hasn't looked like what you thought it would. And there can be some solidarity in that. And you might not feel comfortable putting it all out there and being that raw and vulnerable. And I will say that even as the author who literally wrote the book, I was and am petrified to have this in written form out in the public. But I feel like it's so important for the people who can do that, to give voice to the people who can't. And that's my goal, is to give voice to the people who can't so that they can read this and feel in solidarity and community and have a level of self-acceptance.
That's wonderful. First, I want to congratulate you for having the courage, and that's why you're on this show, Dare to Be Authentic. It takes courage to be authentic. It takes courage to show up that way. It takes a million times more courage to write a book about it and let the whole world see you you know, what you suffered, how you were, because we're all afraid of judgment, right? So it took a lot of courage to get where you are today, and I congratulate you for that. But the most wonderful part is because you've been willing to share this so authentically and so deeply, others can be healed and others can know that there's a way for them to get through whatever they're going through. It doesn't matter what, there is a way. So I just love what you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I want people to know I am literally not the expert. I am going through this with you. Like, there are almost on a daily basis, I'll have a thought, and then I'll say to myself, Leah, you literally wrote the book on this. Like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, stop. But it is a human experience. But it's a way, you know, reading the book and then having some thought process around this is a way of coming back to ourselves and saying, okay, this is okay. This is a human experience. I'm normal. And what can I do in this moment to help myself feel better about this? And what action can I take to feel a small amount of joy?
We love it. So let's take a minute to talk about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Yes. So my book is available just about everywhere. Of course, Amazon. And the hardback just came out. So you can get it in ebook, paperback, and hardback. The best way to contact me, because then you get access to whatever platform you like or, you know, whatnot, is to go to my website, which is RiaGonzalez.com, and it's with a Z, although if you do an S, it'll take you there too. And you have access to my social media. You can send me an email. You can buy my book from there. And just so everyone knows, in terms of reaching out to me on social media, it is me that responds. If you text the number on the website, it is me that responds. I deeply believe in connecting with my audience and creating a sense of community. And so if you need a word of encouragement today, please send me a message by DM and let's chat about it. If you are like, this crappy thing just happened and I just need to tell somebody, send me a DM. I'm super open to that. So I am very accessible and willing to meet you where you are.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So we have like a couple of minutes left. Is there one last thing you wanted to say to a listener?
Yeah, I want to say that that vulnerability and authenticity is literally the only way to live a full life. I think that unless you embrace all of you, you will only live a portion of your life. And it's hard and it's scary and it hurts. And I've said before, but like if you numb the pain, you numb the joy. Mm-hmm. And the joy is worth it. It's worth it to live the pain, to live the joy. And the key to living the pain is to live in community. And if you don't have that biologically, please find chosen family. And if you don't have chosen family, I'm building a community as we speak. And you can have access to that on my website too. It'll be a free community. And we'll be your chosen family. And I just want to encourage people to be who they really are. It is good enough. You are good enough. You are enough, period. Like all of who you are, even though you don't think it, you are enough. And you are worthy of all the good things that can come to you.
Wow. I love it. What a message. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you today. And thank you for listening in. This is a live show, but remember, we have a replay of it available right after. The message, spread it to people who need to know that they are enough, because we all are. And thank you for listening to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Make sure you come back, listen to us next time. Bye for now.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
This is Dare to be authentic talk radio worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.